As we were singing earlier, I kid you not, I think I heard some angels. Angels before, angels not even 30 seconds ago. Thank you so much for that beautiful song. I mean, they sound so good, they might need to go to Carnegie Hall in New York. Oh, that's right, you are going. Today's a very special Sabbath day, and in which I'm blessed to have my family here from near and not so near, and even not so near, and to be able to be with our church family. I believe God has brought you here for a very special purpose. As I look around, I see people that we've been praying for. And God has been working your life in ways that maybe you knew not. And God brought you here for something special this day. So as we get into the message this morning, let us bow our heads. Father, I thank you because you are good in everything that you do. And I ask that at this moment, you will send your Holy Spirit and that you will draw us ever closer to Jesus Christ. Thank you, because you still want to do something in our lives this very moment. Speak to us, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Adopted by God. Why would I ever think of a topic like that for today? I don't want bad news. I don't want fake news. I want news that'll change my life and your life forever. I reckon that must be good news. And here's the good news. God loves you. No, God loves you. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter to God. The fact is that he loves you, plain and simple. Living where we live in the Roseburg area, I would not be surprised that you might find yourself at one wildlife safari. And as you go to wildlife safari, you can't help but think of the amazing God that made these amazing animals. I think there's some of us that are going to wildlife this afternoon. The Bible says, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all the sheep and ox, and even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. As you see those animals, you can think one thing. What is that thing? God loves. Don't believe me, just take a look at what he's made. I mean, when you saw the sunshine this morning, didn't you think about the goodness of God? As you saw the mountains, you maybe thought of his grandeur, and you felt the warm, cool breeze sometimes. And you're like, thank you, God. And then he brings you to this place with wonderful people around you. Amen? Oh, I thought so. You see, God loving us isn't simply something he does. In fact, it's who and what he is. The Bible says, he who does not love does not know God. Why? For God is love. It's God's very nature to love us. All of his actions, all of his functions are built on this high and holy premise called love. I can remember when we made the decision to welcome Abby into our home. We had no idea what she looked like. It was a Sabbath just like this one, October 6th of last year, to be specific. We had gotten the call. My wife tells me about it. She already had an answer. And I started to pray about it, and she prayed too. But once we felt the peace of God, I didn't know what she looked like, but there was love already there. How? God puts it in there. That's how. Love isn't just who God is. Love is also what he does, the Bible says. For God so loved the world that he what? That he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God made the decision to love you. That's good news. God made the decision to love me, and he showed it by giving his Son to die on the cross. And if that wasn't enough, God doesn't just love us. He dies for us. He has plans for your life. Even this very day, October 26, 2019, the Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." If you feel like your life could not get any darker, there's hope for you. If you feel like things can't get any more bleaker or more depressing and hopeless, God wants you to know that he's with you. Tell the person next to you, God's with you. God's with you. Why is God with you? Oh, that's right. It's because he loves you. And because he loves you, he wants to bless you. Blessing us is like a piece of cake for God. He likes blessing us. He loves blessing us. We're blessed so much that we don't even know what to do with it. He's the CEO of Blessings Incorporated. It would do us well to think for a moment of the blessings that he's given us. But here's a very basic question. Why does God love me? He knows that we're just but dust. He knows that all of us are sinners. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. All of us have sinned, which means all of us need a Savior, the only Savior, Jesus Christ. Why does he love you and why does he love me? The Bible tells me, Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. The God who makes us, the God who knew us before we were born, he wants to know you. He wants to know me. And last time I checked, the results of knowing Jesus is amazing. The Bible says, John 17, verse 3, "And this is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." But as much as God loves us, there's a reality that all of us face. What is that reality? We're all orphans. Well, how did that happen? Once upon a time, true story, our first parents turned away from God and sinned. And they had babies, and they were born sinners too, and they committed sin. And I was born wanting to do bad rather than doing good. Maybe you were born that way too. Have you ever noticed that every time we turn away from God, we sin? But when I stay with Jesus, he gives me strength and courage to do what is good. But as much as God loves me and loves you, there's another reality. with that decision that our first parents made, and it is this: the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's the God who made us, and he not only knew us before we were born, he wants to know you now. When you wake up in the morning, guess what God wants to do? He wants to know you more. The question is, do I want to know him more? What is eternal life? Knowing Jesus. When our first parents, Adam and Eve, fell, listen to this. Sorrow filled heaven as it was realized that man was lost and that the world which God had created was to be filled with mortals doomed to misery, sickness, and death. And there was no way of escape for the offender. The whole family of Adam must what? Must die. No way out. They must die. I think about from time to time, frequently, about where Abby would be if she were not in our home. What would become of her life if she weren't with us? I would pray that there would be some other God-fearing people that would receive her as well. I know I'm sure not perfect, and I have my shortcomings too, but we strive every day to ask God to show us how to show her who God is. But the question is, if she weren't with us, a way out, where would she be? If it weren't for Jesus, where would you be? If it weren't for Jesus, where would I be? So how does God get us back? You know, adoptions are typically very, very expensive. So expensive was our adoption as children of God that it required the death of Christ at Calvary. Amen? The Bible says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for who? For everybody? No, it says for many, the Bible says. Granted, Jesus died for everybody, for you and for me, but the issue is not everybody is going to say, Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus came with the purpose of paying that price. Jesus came with the purpose of dying for your sins and for my sins. That must be good news. But what does his death mean? It must mean you must mean something to God. It must mean that you are of great value to God. Why? Because Jesus died for you. How many munchkins did we adopt yesterday? One. Hallelujah. We went through this amazing journey to adopt one child. Jesus did just that for you. If you were the only one on this planet, he would have come and died just for you. One of the most crucial and exciting parts of the adoption process is this: TPR. What does that mean? It means termination of parental rights. When Adam and Eve sinned and gave the keys to planet Earth to the devil, he then claimed rulership over this place. And the Bible tells us, John 8:44, you are of your father who? The devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Before giving our lives to Jesus, we simply didn't know that there was someone who was claiming parental rights on us. Who was that? The devil was trying to do that on us. What's the process of the termination of parental rights for the Christian? It's good stuff, if you ask me. The TPR for the Christian is baptism. Baptism, you know, is where I say, Jesus, I want to give my life to you. Jesus, have control of my life. And baptism requires a whole lot of water. Why? Because without Christ, I have a whole lot of sin. Praise God that he takes me down into the watery grave in looking by faith to his shed blood and being brought back up in his righteousness, squeaky clean. Buried with him in death and raised to walk in newness of life. There once was a man who didn't know he was in trouble, who didn't know he was on the wrong road. And we find his story in John chapter 3. If you see it on the, if you don't see it on the screen, it's because it's not on the screen. Let us turn in our Bibles. And this guy who was in trouble, he was, quote unquote, a good guy in some people's eyes. The Bible says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter where? The kingdom of God. Isn't that the place we're trying to get to? I think so. And what does that require? Baptism. You see, when we meet Jesus, we got decisions to make. Do I want to follow Jesus, the one who left the glories of heaven? Or do I want to follow the one who's trying to kill me? I don't know about you, but I want to follow Jesus today. How about you? This is what Nicodemus needed to do. John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. When we're baptized, we're telling the whole world, we're not following the devil anymore. I'm following Jesus. Baptism is where we are with him. But what's interesting about this reality is that even though when we're baptized, we're walking with Jesus, there still is no legal custody. Did you know that? Why? Because we're still here. We're not up there yet. And that's the place we're trying to get to. In other words, just because we're baptized doesn't mean that we're guaranteed the kingdom of God, even though baptism is required. Look at what the Bible says. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not what? Believe shall be condemned. Someday by faith, little Abby's going to be baptized. And I know a certain someone who is getting ready to be baptized when the time comes. But parental rights, as important as it is, in the foster care process, the child is still under your roof as a foster parent. But guess what? The child isn't yours yet. Is the child with you? Yeah, you're with them too. And you're waiting for something to happen. It's like really, really, really big. Something to be finalized. What would that be? What's that word? Oh, that's right. You're waiting for adoption. What's that? Adoption is legally being part of the family. But not just that. Adoption is where you go home. How many of us want to go home? If we want to go home, I reckon we got some decisions to make. This world is not my home. It is way up there. So the question is, how do I get there? The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. And where's the Father? Oh, that's right, he's up there. Except through me. Jesus is the only way we can get to the Father. There is no other way. And I really like what Paul writes about adoption. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what spiritual blessing? Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to what? Adoption as sons by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. You see, God's purpose from the very get-go is that you and I be part of his family. Isn't that good news? But he's not going to force us to be part of his family. He respects your choice and my choice. And here the Bible tells us that somebody died so that we can get up there. I'll never forget when Abby came home. What a joy it is to have your child home. Amen? We had 24 hours to get ready for Abby to come home from the hospital. We had so not a clue of what we were doing. We have a little bit of a clue of what we're doing now. That for 2 weeks after picking up Abby from the hospital, I'm carrying around the car seat with the base still on it. You laugh until the nurse at one visit said, why are you bringing in the base with the car seat? I guess I'll leave that in the car. Trying to read the manual of how you put the stroller together because the baby is in the car seat right in front of you from the hospital and you still have no idea of how to do things. Why do I tell you these details? Because we're talking about getting home. How do we get home? And something that's part of this process is called the home study. This is where a caseworker comes to your house and sees everything that isn't in your home and is in your home to make sure that everything is safe for the baby, for the child. And if they see that something needs to change, they let you know about it so that you can rectify the situation. But if that home study doesn't take place, this thing is not moving forward. We got the home study done. The inspection was done. We passed the inspection. And then last Monday, we did something amazing. It required a pen. We made the decision to receive Abby as our own. We made the decision to give her our name, Rodriguez.
Bible says, to all who receive him, to them gave he power to be sons and daughters of God.
And then came what we had been waiting so long for. What came? Judgment. That's what came. Yesterday we went to court, so to speak, and the judge signed our daughter's adoption papers, and guess what? She's ours. Without the judge signing, no hay nada. There's nothing. What about us? What is our judgment and what is it based on? The Bible says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats, and he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. He then says, well, some of you gave me food, water, visited me, took care of me. Come, ye blessed. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you. And then those on his left, he was not such nice blessing on their part. And the judgment was based on what Jesus had done on their behalf. And now they have the opportunity to show what Jesus means to them. You see, when I have Jesus in my heart, it reflects the thoughts I have. When I have Jesus in my heart, it reflects the words I say. When I have Jesus in my heart, it affects the decisions I make. And so this judgment is to see who has really loved Jesus and received Jesus and allowed Jesus to change their lives. Not just that. Guess what else this judgment does? This judgment determines who's going home. And this judgment happens before anybody gets to go home. And since there's a judgment, it requires a judge. John 5:22, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to who? To the Son. The one who loves you, the one who died for you, the one who made you, is always with you, is the judge. And it makes a big difference when you know the judge. You see, yesterday I knew the judge. And knowing him made all the difference in the world. Thank you, Bill, for being a very special part of yesterday. It means very, very, very much to us. I not only knew the judge, but guess what? The judge came over to eat afterwards. The judge came to my house. The judge was eating enchiladas. True story. And the judge is knocking on the door of your hearts today. And when Jesus comes into your heart, the Bible says that he will sup with us. He will dine with us. Wow. Jesus wants to have the greatest meal you've ever seen with you and with me. And once the judgment is over, then we will see Jesus come. I don't know about you, but I want to be ready for that day. How about you? This past week, in preparation for the adoption, it was after prayer meeting Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. right there. Just thought I'd put that little plug. So I'm at Sherm's buying a whole bunch of things. And the cashier that I had seen many times, and the first time I saw her we talked about religion and she knows what I do, or we worship and the whole nine yards. And then after sharing that information, the communication kind of really died. But yet I felt impressed to go on that cashier line. And so there I have all the food. I looked a little nicer than the normal grocery shopping attire. And she says, you know, you kind of look nice today. I said, thanks. She said, you know, I have some coworkers. They work in the bakery, and they recently got married, and they came here, and we didn't know they could look so nice. And she said, what's the occasion? I said, oh, prayer meeting. She said, oh, wow. At 9:30 at night, you prayed that long? I said, no, I had some other things to do. But this is in preparation for the adoption. She said, really? I was adopted. And Friday is the celebration, is the ceremony. And she said, I am so happy for you. I was adopted, and my life has been changed, and it's never been the same. And she was excited for Abby. And if that was the excitement in an earthly adoption, how do you think heaven feels when we're finally home with Jesus when he comes back? That, for that to become a reality, it requires some decisions to make. Maybe you've heard about Jesus, but maybe never made a decision about Jesus in your life. I have some good news for you. God chose us, and he wants you to be part of his family. And as the choir shares one last song, I'd like for you to contemplate where you are with Jesus and what he wants to do in your life today. Let us listen.
you heard this song of dedication, of invitation, God did choose you. Would you like to say, Lord, I want to be with you? Anybody like to say that? Be a child of God. Praise God. And maybe as you heard about having a new father, a father who loves you, who wants you to be with him, which includes baptism. Is there someone here who'd like to say, Pastor, not today, but someday soon, I want to get ready for baptism. Is there someone here who'd like to say that? Praise the Lord. God bless you. I see you. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Father, I thank you because you did choose us. You gave us Jesus. Therefore, we have a way to come to you. And today, we want to be part of your family. We want to go home. And we ask that we may ever not only receive Jesus, but hold on to Jesus and stay with Jesus until he comes again. Bless us, O God, and thank you that we get a taste of heaven with our church family down here. In Jesus' name, amen.